Here we go.
Hi, I am Julian Fleischer. And here at the Naked American Songbook, we are all about sharing. Here are some special moments we want you to hear. The amazing Rachel Bloom broke down the entire plot of the movie Space Jam, and we just couldn't keep it to ourselves. Rachel Bloom does Space Jam. Dig it.
You're obviously rooted as an artist and as a person who thinks about what you do in something very classic. We've already talked about Fiddler and Funny Girl. These are great musicals that will be around forever, mm-hmm. even when really good new ones are going to come and go, because there's something timeless about the work, about the craftsmanship. Are you agreeing with me?
I'm completely agreeing with you. I mean, I think it depends on the song, but I think that at the end of the day, it's the emotional truth of it. I mean, that's to me what these songs do, and including the melodies and the whole way it's written, they get to the heart of something that just feels, I don't know, it makes me feel alive. Really good music makes me feel even more alive. Mm,
amen. Let's talk about Space Jam.
I think that's such a good segue.
Thanks. I have to agree. What?
So yeah, I'll explain why. So,
well, before you explain why, explain what, because I have a feeling some of our listeners may not know what we're talking
about. Okay, so in 1996, there was a movie released called Space Jam.
There is one movie that's just so damn groovy, it gives me a reason to sing, and that is the movie. Space Jam! Oh my god, I love the movie Space Jam! Has anybody else here seen Space Jam? Allow me to describe the plot of Space Jam! Yes! The setting is circa 1996, innocent age I recall.
It stars Michael Jordan, the Michael Jordan.
At the height of his extraordinary
career. Who played on the Chicago Bulls. And it stars him and the Looney Tunes. So it's him and a bunch of animated characters. And the overall plot...
Wouldn't you like to have been at the pitch meeting for that?
I am very fascinated with this movie.
Hello, my name is Rachel Bloom, and this is my audition for Saturday Night Live.
Hello, I'm Katharine Hepburn, one of the greatest actresses of all time. And this is my audition for the role of Bugs Bunny in the movie Space Jam. What's up, Doc? Now listen. These aliens come from outer space, and they want to make us Looney Tunes slaves in their intergalactic theme park.
So the plot of it, okay.
Have to cover every detail.
I got to give you the setup, because the setup alone is a plot. It's hat on a hat on a hat. It's a hat shop.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rachel Bloom.
All right. Michael Jordan. So Michael Jordan, his father dies, which happened in real life, and he quits basketball and decides to play minor league baseball, which is something that actually happened.
It did happen.
In real life. This happens in the movie. This is how the movie starts off.
Strike.
He's horrible at baseball. He's really bad at baseball.
Strike.
Good cut, Michael.
That was a strikeout, Mike? That was a good-looking strikeout. Real good. I mean, you look good when you strike out, man. When I strike out, man, it looks nasty, man. At least you look good, man.
Meanwhile, we cut to light years away in space, and suddenly we're in an animated world, because space is animated, because that's science. And we come to a planet with the label Moron Mountain, and we realize we are at an intergalactic theme park for all aliens, and they're on roller coasters, but the theme park is not doing well. And the head of the theme park, voiced by Danny DeVito, who's also a cartoon alien, says, we need to make our theme park more profitable.
We need something.
Oh, my bad.
We need something.
Ah!
Nutty.
Nutty.
Something wacky. We need something. We need something.
Looney? Oops. Looney.
Suddenly, someone hits a button on a remote.
Looney?
I'm an elf! Kill me!
Yes! Looney! Yes! Now you're talking! Looney!
And Looney Tunes comes on. And he goes, that's it!
That's it!
We're gonna kidnap the Looney Tunes. And
get the Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes.
Bring them in.
We're going to have them make our theme park more profitable. Wait for it.
Oh.
We cut to the Looney Tunes. They're invaded by aliens.
I'm just going to sit back and enjoy my wine.
We cut to the Looney Tunes. The Looney Tunes are invaded by aliens. So we cut to the world of the Looney Tunes, which in this world takes... The Looney Tunes live beneath the Earth, and like near the Earth's core. So already we're dealing with a lot of science because we're saying that cartoon aliens live light years away, and in the Earth's core live the Looney Tunes. A bunch of aliens come, and they're like, we're going to kidnap you. And the Looney Tunes, who are really smart, and the aliens are really dumb. The Looney Tunes said, you need to give us a chance to defend ourselves. And the aliens are really, really tiny. And they go, we challenge you to a game of basketball, because the aliens are tiny. But then, by the way, this is the first 15 minutes of the movie. If you're confused, join the club.
Yeah.
So then, the aliens are like, what we're going to do, because we're aliens, is we're challenging them to a basketball game for their lives. We're going to go to various NBA games, real-life, live-action NBA games, and we are going to steal the talents of some of the great NBA players. So they steal the talents of Charles Barkley, Muggsy Bogues, a lot of people.
So you see, we need your help to win an intergalactic basketball game, Michael Jordan.
Then the aliens show up and they're just giant. And the Looney Tunes are like, we need help to win this intergalactic basketball game. And they suck Michael Jordan down a golf hole while he's playing a game of golf. And the journey of this movie is Michael Jordan learns to love basketball again.
Oh, look out for that toy step, Doc. It's a real Lulu.
Are you kidding me?
No, that is... Have you never seen Space Jam? That's like...
Do I look like I've seen Space Jam?
That's half of Act 1 of Space Jam. That's not even the break into Act 2.
Wow.
Yeah, it's insane.
Bugs Bunny.
You were expecting maybe the Easter Bunny?
You're a cartoon. You're not real.
Not real, eh? If I weren't real, could I do this? Look, is that Michael?
Michael!
It's Air Jordan. Basketball.
I did King Michael Jordan.
So, and this song that we're going to listen to?
So this is the theme song. This is how the movie Space Jam opens. And this is the theme song for the movie by the Quad City DJs. And do you want me to explain why it's significant to me now?
Can you do it quickly?
Yeah. It's significant to me because I only listened to show tunes growing up. And then around fourth or fifth grade, I realized I need to start listening to normal people music. And this was one of the first normal person songs I listened to.
What's going on here?
And it has given me a nostalgia.
This was normal.
Yes, this was normal. It has given me a nostalgia for the light, weird, and frivolous late 90s. And I really have such heightened nostalgia for music that comes from these times because it was when I was innocent and also, you know, pre-9/11.
Oh. Yeah, there's a pre-9/11 angle here?
I don't know. Why not?
You feel like at 9/11 something really changed in you?
I think it changed in everyone. I think that that was super silly and frivolous in the late 90s because we were in an economic boom. It was like, let's make a movie about aliens and Michael Jordan because we're all really happy. Clinton's president. 9/11 happens, and suddenly it's like, well, now we have to care about more important things.
Ladies and gentlemen, Space Jam.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Space Jam. Here's your chance, do your dance at the Space Jam. All right. All right.
Jam.
All in your face.
What's up?
Just feel the bass. Drop it, knock it down the room. Shake it quick.
I just wish I could
work
refer
body,
people to the show page, but we don't have a camera in here. Because you're popping, yo.
I really love this song.
I mean, what it is, it actually is a jam. It's not really a song.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Your chance to your dance at the Space Jam. See, this is also when songs were... That was great.
Thanks. I just got into it. Yeah. I was watching you.
This is also the era like in which... which was basically the 80s and 90s where you could make songs that were just one-to-one with the title of the movie. Like, mm-hmm. another song I love is MC Hammer's The Addams Family song. Mm-hmm. You just don't have songs like that anymore.
Well, that's just marketing has changed.
Yes.
Now they know that people are wise to it.
But I like how on the nose it is. It's so innocently on the nose. That's what I love about it.
Jonathan Schwartz isn't going to hear this show, right? The keeper of the American songbook Flame. His father was Arthur Schwartz, the songwriter, and he grew up on Sinatra's lap and stuff, and he's the sort of the paterfamilias of this whole joint.
Oh, also, I did a dance to this in my fifth grade talent show where I'd really crushed it.
That's what they told you anyway.
No, this is how we ended the talent show. And this was the talent show where I did... Actually, this talent show was significant because I wrote and performed my first original sketch.
Oh.
And so this talent show was the first time that I ever wrote something and performed it and was funny, and I was 11 years old, so I have very fond memories of this song being on a high from this talent show.
Do you remember the steps?
It's a lot. It's mostly great funs.
Oh, really?
Listen, no, this is not one of the great classics of American music. It's important in my life.
The writer-producers of this also wrote Woot, There It Is.
Whoa!
Freak Me Baby, Come On and Ride It.
Uh-huh.
And Tootsie Roll.
I mean, those are iconic. Wait, Come On and Ride It as in come on the train and ride it. You know what? The chords all sound very similar.
Well, good for them for leveraging what little they had into what must be a fortune.
I mean, they must be so rich.
Yeah. Well, that was Space Jam by the Quad City DJs.
Oh, and then the other really significant thing about Space Jam is, I've been obsessed with this movie for a long time. One of the first comedy songs that I ever wrote was a song called Space Jam.
Now, I know at this point you're like, what do cartoon aliens kidnapping the Looney Tunes have to do with Michael Jordan? Well, that's the magic of Space Jam. That's what happens in the Space Jam. Our kids are starting to get them books they call the Space Jam.
The premise of what I was doing is I did a sketch show at UCB that was called Sing Out Louise, which was a musical sketch show. And this was right out of college, and I co-wrote a song with my friend Mikey about the movie Space Jam, and the context is it's someone in the show, a chorus line.
See, I really couldn't sing. I could never really sing. What I couldn't do was
sing.
Coming up, and they're like, number 31, we haven't heard from you yet. Tell us what's your story? And it's a song about how they love the movie Space Jam. And you can see that song online.
Is this the monologue you just gave me?
No. I don't even go over the... Well, I go over the plot of Space Jam.
Are you repurposing your own material?
I would say like 15%.
Like an angel, like a beacon. I saw the poster for Space Jam, and that's when I realized... If Looney Tunes can play basketball, the says I can't quit drugs. And I can scary look and I can put myself back together. Everything is possible in Space Jam, so everything is possible for me. I was about to jump in front of a train in Space Jam. And in my
Anyway, that was like the first comedy song I ever wrote, and I remember playing it for my husband, my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, on this road trip, and I was like, yeah, I think this song will be part of the sketch show I'm writing, and he said, you should just do this. You should just do songs, because this is unique. Anyone can write a sketch show, but this is unique, and that and his encouragement really full on put me down the path of musical comedy songwriting.
Holy cow.
So it's really important.
So he gets half.
I mean, now he does, I guess, naturally.
It's the Napoleonic code.
I didn't sign a prenup because I was like, you know what? He deserves it. He deserves half.
Really? For putting up with it, you mean?
I mean, just all of it and for being so wonderful. Like, even if he were to, like, cheat on me horribly, it's like, you know what? Take half. We've had a lot going on.
We need new attractions.
Right? What?
New ones.
Uh-huh.
Get it?
Big, shiny new things. Yeah.
Absolutely, sir.
How long have you guys been married? You seem very young to me, so it can't have been for long.
Yeah, I got married when I was 27. I never thought this would be me. I never thought I'd be. But he's 5 years older. We've been married for almost 2.5 years. We've been together 8.5 years.
Nice. Mazel tov.
Todah rabah.
Good insight. That is it for now. Please don't be a stranger. Our show page is nakedamericansongbook.org. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you park your podcast. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We are on Instagram. And all of these are designed to find out what you're thinking about what we're doing. We'll also need to know what you're wearing and what you're not wearing. The Naked American Songbook is a production of the Jonathan Channel, WNYC and WQXR in New York City. Our team includes Aaron Dalton, Ellie Smirling, Mike Shobe, rhymes with robe. Our theme music is written by me. I am Julian Fleischer. Thank you for listening. Keep it naked.
It's Dee Murph, right?
You refer to Donna Murphy.
It's Dee Murph.
Right, who's taking over for Bette Midler in Hello, Dolly.
Bette Midler's already leaving Hello, Dolly?
Well, she does one show a week, and then I think when Bette Midler leaves in the fall, she's going to take over the part. That's what I'm led to
believe. Wow, with Donna Murphy as your understudy, that's... I guess you're Bette Midler.
Nobody else could get that kind of quality.
She's going to leave in the fall.
I saw it. You know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a three-hour show. Yeah, it's great. It's okay. Hello, Dolly.
Yeah, of course.
You know, there's not much you can do about Hello, Dolly.
Bette Midler and I have the same voice teacher.
Really?
And he was helping her. I would, like, leave the room and hear her starting to warm up on Skype. And I'd be like,
On Skype? You can do a voice lesson from Skype?
Yeah, she's Bette Midler.
That sounds like having, like, an affair on Skype. Like, yeah, baby, Skype me. No, thanks.
You can have an affair on Skype.
No, because someone's always pushing record.
If my husband was on... I mean, the first time I went into a strip club, I was like, this is a societally accepted form of cheating. And I think women just choose not to... Or, you know, people who don't know about strip clubs and otherwise wouldn't be.
Wait,
cool.
You went with a bunch of guys to a strip club with girl strippers? Or you went with a bunch of girls to a strip club with boy strippers?
I went with a bunch of guys that I worked to a strip club in Vegas with girls. And I was like, oh, this... I wasn't with my boyfriend, now husband. And I was like, oh, this is like... I saw naked boobs in the guy's face. I was like, this is cheating. But it's societally accepted cheating.
Mm-hmm. Is it personally accepted cheating by you? Like, if your husband were going to a strip joint, would you be like, that's cheating?
No, I'm fine with it.
Right.
Because we've now talked about it, but I'm fine with it. But I understand why some women wouldn't be comfortable.
Sure.
It's another woman's boobs in his face.
Right. Well, I guess, yeah, it depends on how secure you are. I want you to lower your mic just a little for me so that you're more in the middle of it. There you go.
I like that.
That's a better sign.
Yeah.
Sound.
Yeah.
You don't have to get up on it like that. That's cheating. What you're doing right now is definitely cheating.